1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we will read the first 9 verses. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sophenus, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those in every who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him, in all speech, in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here ends the reading of God's Word. So if you remember, we have over the past several weeks been considering our vision as a congregation. We've been looking at our mission statement, and we have been taking each part of that mission statement, and we have been showing how it relates to our mission as a church and our vision as we participate as the body of Christ. So today we're privileged to consider how the fellowship of the church plays a role in our vision, the fellowship of the church. So today that's what we will be concerned with, the fellowship of the church. What is that mean, the fellowship of the church? Now, most people, when they think about fellowship, what do they think about? They automatically think about food, don't they? We think about food. That is so closely connected with our fellowship. You know, somebody says, I enjoyed good fellowship with that family. You think, well, what did they serve you? And fellowship goes beyond that. It actually is something beyond that. Our fellowship at its core is the relationship of God being reflected in his saints as they enjoy the company of each other. So today, as we are considering what it means to talk about fellowship, we're not going to, in here, talk about food. We're not going to talk about recipes. We're not going to talk about anything that relates with our fellowship meal per se. But we are going to instead be looking at the theological foundations for why we have fellowship. Why do we do this? Why does the church gather for a meal and call it a fellowship meal? Why do we gather on Wednesday nights and pray together and sing together and share one another's burdens together on Wednesdays and on Thursdays as well? Why do we get together at times during the week just to share one another's company? Why at times do we see people pulling other people aside and praying with them here after worship? It's all part of fellowship. It's all part of being called to fellowship as Christians. So there are theological reasons we do this. There's a foundation for this. Now, we don't do these things that we call fellowship, because we're forced to do them. We don't do them because they are the norms or the mores of the congregation or of the denomination. We don't even do them because 2,000 years of church history has, quote-unquote, evolved to include these things. These are not the reasons that we have fellowship. So as we come and we think about these theological foundations for fellowship, we have to ask ourselves a number of questions. We have to say, why is it important that the church has fellowship? Why is that important? Why is it important that we care about each other's lives? I mean, there's plenty of churches where if you don't want to care and you don't want to fellowship and you don't want to participate, you can go and you can be in a big room on the Lord's Day and you can hide. You can basically be just another person there and not have to have fellowship. But here, it is an essential part of who we are, isn't it? It's very important to us. So we ask ourselves, why do we do this? Why do we welcome each other into our homes? And why do we bear one another's burdens and pray for each other? And why do we open up our lives to be vulnerable and transparent with each other? Those are real questions. And like I said, there are good theological reasons. It's more than just the way we do things. There are real biblical grounds for why we do things. The first foundation for our fellowship is that it reflects the fellowship of God. We have a triune God, don't we? We have a God that is perfectly happy in fellowship with himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in perfect eternal fellowship together. And I know that sounds heavy, I know that sounds weighty, but it's true. That's our first foundation, is the fact that the Trinity itself, the Trinity himself, is perfectly happy in fellowship and harmony together. Now, I've mentioned before, one of my least favorite things in the world is when you read a Christian book written for small children and they talk about the creation and they talk about how God created Adam and Eve because God was lonely and God wanted someone to be his friend. And there are a lot of children's books that claim to be Christian that talk about the creation account, and they used terminology like this, and it's not true. God was perfectly happy in fellowship with himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in perfect communion and unity for all eternity past. So as we think about our fellowship and the role that we have in fellowship, the first foundation is that we have this fellowship because it reflects God. It reflects the character of God to be in fellowship with one another. One writer writes, "In the body of Christ, unity is essential for the smooth running of the church. This unity is not natural to the carnal person, but can only be attained through fellowship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul recognizes how these three persons of the Godhead are operative in unifying the many diverse gifts and activities of those in the body. And then this unity that God desires in the functioning of his church is a reflection of the perfect unity that exists in himself." So as we think about fellowship and as we think about caring for one another and as we think about sharing concerns for one another and sitting down and enjoying one another's company and praying together and all of these things that make up fellowship, it's because God is in perfect fellowship with himself. And I think that's great, personally. The fellowship in a church where members peacefully coexist and enjoy the fellowship of one another, it's only possible because of the perfect fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when a church runs smoothly, when a church has good fellowship, when a church has a peaceful life as a congregation, people see that. And people comment on that. People say, wow, you really love each other. You really have a lot of fellowship. You really have a lot of time to get to know each other. And people see that love and they feel that as they experience life in the church. And, you know, when people comment to us about our fellowship, we can never, ever, ever say, yeah, I know, we do a good job because we work hard at it. You know, people comment, visitors comment all the time about the fellowship of this church. We can never say, yeah, we know we do a good job. We know we work hard at this. All that we can ever say is praise God that His fellowship is reflected here. And I think that that is the way that we need to look at it too, as we think about our foundation, a theological foundation for fellowship, that perfect fellowship between Father, Son, and Spirit reflected in a tiny way here. And it's part of God's character. It's part of who He is being reflected onto us, onto the body of Christ. So you can see how a God-centered, humble approach to fellowship, how that is very important to our vision, isn't it? Because it takes the focus away from us and us as individuals and us as a congregation, and it puts that focus onto God. And I think that's what we want, isn't it? We want people, when they come here, and people to comment on this congregation, we don't want to take that and say, thank you very much, we're pretty good. We want it always to be reflected onto the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what we can do with our fellowship as well. Now, the second theological foundation is that it reflects the fellowship of Jesus and His church. So we see it reflected the Trinity, perfect fellowship within God. And now we see that the fellowship of the church reflects the fellowship that the church has with Jesus Christ. I read 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this shows us that Christian fellowship finds another basis, another foundation in the fellowship that Christ has with His church. Now, most things in life that are worth doing are models, aren't they? There's somebody that we can look at and we model that in our lives. You know, we think about people that need to have a skill or need to have a trade, and the best way to learn that skill or that trade is to have that modeled in their lives. You know, we think of medical doctors. If you knew that your medical doctor learned online how to be a doctor and had never had any contact with other medical doctors in his training or her training, you would not feel very comfortable going to that person for, say, surgery. You just wouldn't. And that is because things that are worth doing are worth being modeled as a way to learn. So a doctor, they go to med school, and then they spend a number of years in residency where they're just learning this skill or this trade under another doctor. And we can take that idea, that modeling idea, and we can bring that closer to home. When one is a Christian and one is a new Christian, especially, the living out of the Christian life is usually modeled by our mentors. And it's usually modeled by those that we see in the church. And we have people in our minds that we look up to and we say, I want to be like that person as a Christian. And you find out how they think, and you find out what their devotional life is like, and you find out other things, and you begin modeling that in your Christian life. I would assume that most of you have somebody in your life that you could point to and say, that person was a real influence on how I live my Christian life. All of us. We have mentors like that. And this is also true in the fellowship of the church. You see, when we have fellowship modeled and when we have fellowship lived out before us, we're more likely to live out fellowship. If we see it modeled in a good way, if we see people that participate in fellowship and demonstrate what it means to live in fellowship, we model that in our lives when we see it done well. But that's not our foundation. The modeling that we see here, you know, I look at you and I say, you do a really good job at that. I would like my Christian life to reflect that, so I do that. That's not our foundation. Our foundation is that we have Jesus Christ having fellowship with the church, and that's our model. Not each other, even though we do model after one another. And the reason why that is so important and why it's so important to get as part of our biblical foundation is that Jesus Christ has perfect fellowship with the church, doesn't he? We do not have the ability to look on to our other church members and say, you know, that person really doesn't participate much in the life of the church, and so I don't really think that I have to. You know, the elders sure let that family get away with a lot. So I think I will get away with a lot. We don't have that ability when our foundation is not looking out at one another. Our foundation is looking at Christ and the way he has fellowship with the bride of Christ, the way he has fellowship with the church, and we're not able to finger point. We're not able to say, you know, I can slack off, because we have Christ perfectly modeling fellowship. And I say, that is part of my foundation. That is part of my standard. That is what I am aiming for as a Christian. Our text from 1 Corinthians says that we have been called into that fellowship. And if we have been called into that fellowship, then we must come face to face with the reality that fellowship is both between Jesus Christ and the church that he loves above all things. That is our foundation. Christ's love for the church. Now, 1 John 1:7 takes this even a little bit further than our 1 Corinthians text. 1 John tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. So what that tells us is fellowship is not optional. It says if you say you walk in the light rather than walk in darkness, then you have fellowship. It is part of walking in the light. If we claim to be those who walk in the light, if we claim to be those who have been cleansed from unrighteousness, then we do have fellowship with one another. We have it. We just have to walk in it. And I think that is important to see, this foundation between Christ and the church. And if we are in Christ, we are in that fellowship. So we need to walk in that fellowship. It's not optional. So you can ask yourself, what are some opportunities where you can have greater fellowship with the believers in this church? We're called to have it. We want to walk in it. We want to reflect what the scriptures tell us to do. And we're called to live according to the scriptures. So how can we have greater fellowship? And you know, this can be a great asset to our vision. Because at the core, and I know I've said this before, but people are looking for fellowship. People are lonely. I think that is true. People are lonely. And when people see fellowship that's meaningful and rich, when they see that, they want to be a part of that. And that can be a great asset to our vision and to our mission as a church. So ask yourself, how can you foster that? How can you help develop that more and more? Now, I think the perfect way to do this, one perfect example that we can use, is we can use this to plug our Wednesday and Thursday prayer meetings, like I like to do. Wednesday in LA and Thursday in Orange County. Times of fellowship. Fellowship around prayer, fellowship around the word, fellowship around singing, and fellowship around a table. You know, afterwards there's lingering, there's conversation, there's coffee and food, even though I said I wouldn't mention food. And it's a way that we can grow in our love and our commitment to one another as members of Christ's church. And it's a way that we can model fellowship as we invite people in, as we invite people to come to really a meeting that is less formal than church and less threatening than church. And people can see that fellowship modeled in a real way. So we reflect the fellowship of Christ and the church as part of our foundation. Now, our third theological foundation is that our fellowship reflects the fellowship of the Spirit with the believer. So we have fellowship reflecting the triune God and the relationship that God has within himself. And then we have the fellowship between Christ and the church as a whole. And now thirdly, the fellowship of the believer with the Spirit. Now, we spent a number of weeks in Romans 8 talking about this fellowship between the Spirit and the believer and all of the benefits that we have as the Spirit indwells us and the way that we live out our Christian life because the Spirit compels us to. And I know this is a lot like the second point, Jesus in the church, but it's much more personal because it's here with the individual believer and not just with the whole church. Now, Paul ends his second epistle to Corinthians with these words: "The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." That is what Paul's desire for the church in Corinth was, that they would experience that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to rehash all of Romans 8, but if you want a refresher course, you can hear it on sermonaudio.com/RPCLA. And you can hear all of those sermons that dealt with that fellowship between the Spirit and the individual believer. And as we have fellowship with one another, we are a reflection of that, a reflection of that fellowship of the Spirit with us. So what are some things that the Spirit does as we have fellowship with the Spirit? Well, we know that He comforts us and He encourages us and He draws us closer to Christ and He reproves us as we need to be reproved. He gives us correction in life and in doctrine. He spurs us on to greater godliness. All of these things, the Spirit works within our hearts as believers. You know, we're living a certain way. We're doing something we know we shouldn't be doing. And the Spirit convicts us to stop doing it, to put that off and to put on some new aspect of godly living. And the Spirit does that within us. And we see that as the church, we're to reflect that in our lives. We are to reflect that fellowship in our own fellowship. So what that means is, as we grow in our Christian life and as we model Christian living before other people, what we are to do is we are to do those things as well. We are to reflect that work of the Spirit in our own lives. So you know what that means? It means that we encourage one another. It means that we challenge one another in things like Bible reading. And it means that there are times when we will need to be corrected And it's more than appropriate for another believer to come up to us and say, brother or sister, what you're doing is out of line. Because that's part of that fellowship. It's part of that reflection. There's times when we need to be encouraged or challenged in things like our Bible reading or our prayer life or our Sabbath keeping or our Christian walk in general. And we're called to do that in love as part of fellowship. You see, if our fellowship only revolves around casseroles, it is extremely shallow. Extremely shallow. But if we can sit in there and enjoy a good meal and talk about the wonders of Jesus Christ and the way that God is working in our lives and the way that we have been learning from the scriptures, or we can do things like talk about the sermon and the way the sermons have convicted our hearts, or the way that God has used a certain brother or sister to encourage us in our Christian living, that is real Christian fellowship that reflects what the Spirit is doing in our lives. And that's part of our foundation, that we need to be reflecting that which the Spirit does for us. So we ask ourselves, how does the Spirit work in my life? You can think about it. You can think about your Bible reading, and you can think about conviction of sin, and you can think about ways you've been comforted or encouraged. And then what you need to do, what I need to do, is reflect that in our fellowship. Because part of our foundation is the fact that the Spirit of God has fellowship with the believer. It's a theological foundation. And you know, what it does is it comes down to the church being the church. I've said this before as well. We are not the Elks Club, or we are not the Moose Club. We are something more than that. We're not just friends that get together around a cause. You know, those things are fine. It's fine to get together around a cause. But we are here as the people of God. We are the ones that have been called out to assemble together and to be the church. And part of being the church is this fellowship. And you know, we think about this fellowship as one of the ways that God works in our lives to draw us closer to Himself, to make us grow in our Christian life. And all we can really do is to say, you know, God is really gracious. What a nice way to cause His people to grow, through fellowship. You know, He could have done so many other things, but one of the ways that He gives us to grow is through enjoying one another. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. Think about how gracious God is by giving us each other to enjoy. So next time somebody asks about our fellowship here at church, next time somebody mentions that we get together and eat a lot, as get together a lot to eat, don't just mention the wonderful things that are always on our menu. Or don't just mention those things that are food related. Go beyond that. Go to the foundations, those theological foundations, and mention the fact that the only reason that we have fellowship with one another is because it reflects the fellowship of the triune God, that it reflects the fellowship that Jesus has with His church, and it reflects the fellowship that the believer has with the Spirit. And I think when we have a proper theological understanding of why we have fellowship, it really becomes a great asset to our vision and our mission as a church. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for fellowship. We thank You that You use normal means for the growth of the church. And Lord, we pray now that You would help us to to reflect Christian fellowship in a biblical way, that we would love each other as the church, that we would seek to get to know one another more, that we would seek to have greater fellowship with one another. We all live such busy lives, and yet we are called to set aside time for fellowship and for being the church together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.